The scripture this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. That's on page 957 of your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased."
It was a bit of a shock at first, wading into the cool water, a noticeable contrast from the thick, hot air. That moment when warm, sticky skin meets the chill of cold, wet water. But the further in, the more welcome the water became. It was a release. A letting go of the sun's heat trapped in the skin, the grimy grit of sweat and dirt began to pull away as the water began to do its job. Cleansing the skin, regulating the temperature, lightening the load. Step by step, the heaviness drifted away, taken away by the current, drifting down the river with twigs and leaves and yesterday's worries. The hum of the crowd faded as the sound of the river filled the ears. Fingers spread while water swirled between them. The world began to distance itself with every step forward. His voice called onward. They watched from the shore, but they were far, far away. Farther than the distance between them. His eyes no longer focused on them. It was only the Baptist. His clothes drenched, clung to his skin, his hair damp, his eyes bright. Into the waters he called. The river beckoned in its own way, "Come." Gripping his shoulders, firmly guiding, eyes locking, a question flickered, a nod confirmed. It was time. It was time. The kairotic moment that stopped time and sped it up all at once, a flash backward, a fast forward, there in the rivers of past and present, the Jordan witnessed the Spirit's descent. It was a long time coming. Decades after the star told of his birth, year after year he grew, he learned, he questioned, he wrestled, and he came to grips. And there, in the grip of his cousin, the wild and righteous, the prophet cried out, held out his arms, and Jesus gave up control as his body was guided under. Eyes closed, he saw it all, felt the pressure of the water, his nostrils stifled breath, his hair caught in the current spread away from his body, and time stood still. Until, whoosh, he was up again. Air rushed in, coughed a little, and caught his breath. His eyes blinded by the sun, the water parting from his lids. The sky was lit up, the glare so bright. He squinted to focus. And there descended the bird, the dove. In a spiral dive, her white wings flew. And then the voice in his head, in theirs, "This is my Son, the Beloved." I imagine it second by second, my own skin damp with the sweat of those heavy, humid summers, the cool of the water, the welcomed release. I see it. I feel it. I lived it even. My own journey to the Jordan River, a pilgrim set to see the sights of the holiest land of all. Into the river we waded. The same river of ancient stories and refreshing waters, baptismal waters. His story, and mine, ours, one body, one spirit, one water. I'll never forget how welcoming that river was. The cupped hands that poured the cleansing water over my head, drenched my clothes, my hair, my skin, drinking it in, thirsty for the relief that only the river could bring. My soul gulped it down. It too had thirsted. Finally saturated, soaking in the spirit. It was powerful. In my mind's eye, even more so. I was just 22, a decade or so younger than him, not quite sure if I was really ready to take the full plunge, but this wasn't my baptism. That happened about a decade earlier, sprinkled with holy Irvine tap water, with the power of the Holy Spirit infused. When I stood in the Jordan River that hot afternoon, I heard my pastor hear him again call me beloved. And the waters drip down my head, and I feel it still, an affirmation of the choice I'd made when I was just a teen. I didn't know that ministry was my call then. At least I wasn't willing to admit it to myself. But even if I didn't recognize a pastoral call, I had heard Jesus' call. I had pledged my life to get to know him, to strip away the centuries and Christologies, to pull off the crown and meet the man. Even as I've loved the myth, I've always wanted to know the man. To this day, it is Jesus' humanity that touches me. His divinity shines through because of his humanity. And because of his humanity, our divinity has a vehicle to shine as well. We don't know very much about who he was before this moment. We let our imagination join with the early Christian community last week when we wondered about the boy, the teenager, the lost years of the man they would call king. But we don't know very much. What we do know was that whatever he was doing up until this point, it wasn't public. It didn't catch anyone's attention. It wasn't worth writing about. He was just a boy, just a young man, just going about his business. Nothing out of the ordinary. But inside, something must have been happening. He watched the world around him. His world was small. Never traveled more than 100-mile radius. No tall buildings, no big ships. He wasn't worldly, though later they'd call him otherworldly. But then he was just Jesus, just like everyone else. But he was listening and looking, and what he heard and saw didn't sit right with him. There were some who had nothing and others who wanted for nothing. Some who went hungry, who begged for scraps, while others gorged on fine foods that he would never taste. There were some whose homes were grand, beautiful tapestries, tiled floors, and glass goblets. Their remnants tell their story even today. And there were others whose shacks barely held a roof over their heads. There was the sick and the lame, the ones cast out, stoned to be a lesson for any who dare step out of line, because there was a line of in and out, of haves and have-nots, of clean and dirty, of holy and cursed. And most of the time, Jesus stood on the wrong side of the line. Maybe he grew tired of it. Maybe he began to ask too many questions. Maybe he just couldn't fit the mold anymore. He couldn't keep quiet. He couldn't swallow it down. He couldn't shake that vision of a woman being stoned and a blind man being kicked and a foreigner shoved out of the way while the rich man robbed them all of a life they never got the chance to live. And the holy man lifted his scroll so he didn't have to see. Sometimes I wonder how it all went down. Was it one instance? Was it many? Was it a gnawing or a burning? Was it a loud voice that boomed in the ears or a quiet whisper that woke him up at night? The day he waited in was the day he said goodbye to whatever privilege anonymity gave him. His silence was broken. His eyes opened for good. His heart would bleed and bleed and bleed. He could never undo what the waters did. Maybe he waited in because he couldn't take the heavy anymore, because he carried it around with him everywhere he went, and the water lightened the load. Except the thing is, things didn't get easier when he emerged from the waters. If anything, they got harder. He sealed his fate that day. The moment he went public, the moment he said yes, he would never blend in again. He could not stay silent. From that moment onward, he would call out injustice wherever he saw it. Where there was hurting, he would bring healing. Where there were hungry, he would feed them. Where there were outcasts, he would include. And it wouldn't win him respect from the people of power, it would mark him. He would stand out as different. He would no longer go unnoticed in a crowd. The waters didn't make the heavy disappear. But in them, it didn't feel so heavy. It didn't feel so hard. The weight lifted, and he knew he could do what he would have to do. Some people think baptism is a way of washing away the sins, or a get-out-of-jail-free card, or a ticket to pass the pearly gates. But I think baptism is not about what you're gonna get, but what you're willing to give. In the waters, we do get washed clean. The stuff we thought had made us dirty, we soon realize won't cling to us anymore. The things we thought that we couldn't carry don't hold the weight of gravity they once did. The thirsty drink and the water bathes. The old becomes refreshingly new again. But something else changes. Baptism isn't just about what happens to us or the stuff that holds us. It's about what we do. What we do to ourselves and to others and the stuff around us. You see, Jesus walked into those waters and nobody knew who he was. But the moment he walked out, God's voice declared it. This is my son. There's no more hiding. No more disappearing into the background. No more closing of eyes and shutting of ears. No more ignoring the cry. No more unseeing the injustice. Jesus' baptism is not just a public declaration from God. It is an acceptance from Jesus. We're doing this. I'm all in. Bring it on. That couldn't have been easy. It took 3 decades in the making, so no, it wasn't easy. But he came out of those waters and he did what he was called to do, and it didn't matter what the risk, he was willing to take it. He spoke out, he called out, he put his life on the line, and he drew a line in the sand. There's a line in the sand. That line is more profound today than I have ever seen it. On one side, there's Jesus, the refugee whose family sought asylum in Egypt. There is the woman, the sick, the immigrant, the poor, the broken, the silenced, and the oppressed. And on the other side of the line, where they have always been, are the powerful and the elite, the rich and the wealthy. Jesus is calling. If you can't hear him, you might not be listening. Or maybe you're stuck where he was all those years, trying to come into his own, wrestling with what he saw and what he knew in his heart was right, moment building on moment, until he could not ignore the voice anymore. Into the waters he waded. And he was never the same again. into the waters, he calls us, and we will never be the same again. Baptism. It's back to the water. To the drops on our skin that pull us in deeper, the thirst of our body, the cool of the river, cleansing and renewing, bathed in the love and ready to face the world. It will not be easy. It wasn't for him. The world out there is hard, and it is getting worse by the minute. Our brothers and our sisters are crying, but our ears have been cleaned out, and we cannot plug them up anymore. Our eyes have been pierced by the light of God we cannot unsee anymore. We have to look hard at the ugly. We have to call out the obscene. Where we see injustice, we cannot be silent. We won't become numb. Because that's what they want, to numb us into silence, to keep us comfortably in denial, our disbelief stunning our ability to act. If they just repeat the same lies over and over, eventually we will get tired and give up, powerless to the steady barrage. We'll just shut up to save ourselves. They'll take everything we're familiar with and twist it and turn it. They'll even take our Jesus and mold him into their image. They'll use his words as weapons against us. In his name, they will go to battle and try to destroy the very people he lost his life to save. They were the people who kept him up at night and called him into those waters. If I need to be more specific, let me call them by name. For her name is woman, immigrant, Muslim. His name is poverty, gay, black. It's give me a chance, it's I'm somebody, and si se puede, I can, I will, I am. I am. I am. I am called him in the night, guided him to the waters, gave him voice and truth, courage and power. Out of the waters emerged a man, unfettered with a voice that would not waver. Out of the waters, dripping with promise and drenched with hope, he waded. Out of the waters, he rose unafraid and undeterred. Out of the waters, he was driven into a world of injustice, but out of the waters, he was sent. Heaven sent to us. Out of the waters, he walked, God's own son, the beloved, with a word of love and a promise of peace. Into the waters, we too are called. Out of the waters, beloved, we are sent. Amen.